I'm super excited to have my good friend Eric Kallman on the show today. This has been in the works for a while, and we finally made it happen. Eric is an absolute legend. He helped create campaigns such as Old Spice's The Man Your Man Could Smell Like, as well as the celebrated work for Skittles, Coca-Cola, Kayak, Ragu, Little Caesars, Career Builder, and many, many others. Before co-founding his agency, Eric and Kallman, Eric was executive creative director of Goodby Silverstein & Partners. And before that, he was the founding executive creative director of Barton F. Graff. And before that, Eric was at Wieden & Kennedy Portland, where his work for Old Spice won the Grand Effie. And before that, he was at Shiat New York. And before that, he was just a funny guy. And before that, he was in his mommy's belly. In 2011, he was the most awarded creative in the world. He has won 28 Cannes Lions, including both the film and Cyber Grand Prix. He's won an Emmy, and his 8 yellow pencils and 2 black pencils make him the 3rd most awarded copywriter in DNAD history. Let's give it up for Eric Kallman, everybody.
Well, it's your lucky day, you headphone-wearing bastard, because Jason Bagley's podcast is here. Oh, yeah, he's gonna interview the most important person, so shut your mouth and f***ing open your ears. Yes, it's Jason's podcast, the best you can get anywhere. And if you pay a f***ing attention, you'll get your f***ing mind blown. But I should probably tone it down, cause Jason Bagley wouldn't want me to swear. Yes, it's Jason Bagley's podcast, baby. You better get out your notebook and your pen. He'll interview a motherfucking important person. God damn it, I did it again. It's Jason's podcast. Here we go.
All right. Eric Kallman, my dear friend, welcome
to
the show.
Thanks, Jason.
From the backyard, you asked where I was before we got on. Eric said, where are you, in a Motel 6? I'm not in a Motel 6. I am in the childhood bedroom of my wife, Parmas, in Woodland Hills, California. Literally coming to you globally, live, from Parmas' childhood bedroom.
Woodland Hills, where is that about?
Woodland Hills is right next to Calabasas.
I'm gonna say it's a Kardashian country, right? Like not far from Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, it's right near Kardashian country.
Gotcha. K-Dash, center of the universe. All that's important.
Everything that matters.
Yes.
We met many years ago, and little could any of us have predicted the special and magical ride that would occur relatively quickly after you and Craig got to Wieden. We started working together on Career Builder as a threesome, and then in the middle of that project, I got promoted to be creative director, which was very intimidating. I didn't know what I was doing. And suddenly I'm creative directing this rock star team from Shiat. And wow, what a ride we had.
Did it do well? Did Old Spice do well?
Old Spice, just to update you, it did okay.
Oh, thank God. I just wanted to hit the numbers for P&G. For my people in Cincinnati, hit those numbers.
Yeah, no.
It was wild.
Yeah. Very fun. We had a good time working together for many years, and then you went off to help launch BFG and continue to do phenomenal work. And now, tell us where you're at. What agency do you work for? Who do you work for, Eric?
I work for a creative agency in San Francisco called Eric and Kallman, named after both my surname. Is your surname your first name or your last name? I have no idea.
I think it might be your last name.
Okay.
I think it's your last name.
Yeah. Well, my partner's name is Steve Eric, and so that really worked out, you know.
It really worked out for you.
Eric and Kallman, you know, decades down the line, if we're owned by a giant conglomerate, it'll be hard to fire Eric Kallman from Eric and Kallman. You know, it'll be good.
But yeah, you guys have managed to, it's no easy task to launch an agency, and you've managed to do very well and continue to do great work, keeping the world smiling, which I appreciate.
Thank you.
So everybody listening, sure and try to go work. See if you can get a job at Eric and Coleman. It's a fun place.
Yeah.
But.
Well, what'd you bring me here to talk about today, Jason?
So today, glad you brought that up. One of the things in my course that creatives ask a lot about, very wisely, they're very wise to ask this question, is, as we all know, media has shifted over, you know, been quite a while, but it just continues to shift to where more and more of the media buys that happen are sixes and 15s. And so they present both a unique challenge and opportunity. That's the positive spin on it. And creators want to know, like, what? How do you do it? You know, how do you make a great piece of creative in just 15 seconds? And so I thought, I'm going to get my buddy Eric Coleman, who has done as many great 15s as anybody, and we're going to talk about how to make great 15s. And we don't really have a plan here. We don't have a plan. We're just going to watch some spots, talk about it.
Make it up as we go, you know?
Let's do it.
Well, you know, Jay, I think you started in advertising, you know, close to about where I did within a few years. And it was funny because I feel like we've seen the total evolution of this, where I remember the, you know, the older creatives in my first job, you know, not wanting to work on brands that just would do a couple 30s and 15s. You know what I mean? They were like, 30s were the throwaway. They just wanted to do 60s.
Yeah.
You know? And then they had to do a few 30s. And then it evolved into 30s and 15s were like a staple. And then it's gotten insane now where, you know, a lot of, you know, maybe a lot of CPGs especially are doing 15s as the long form.
Yeah.
And then you pick up some sixes. So it's still a lot of fun, but it's wild how condensed it's got.
And I think it is, a lot of times the 30 is like the long form and you're like, you're hoping you get to do a 30. But at the same time, I think they present a unique challenge, but there's something that I love about a great 15, and I don't know, what is the magic of a great 15? Is it that when you pull it off, there's something so delightful and magical about such a condensed, smart, like, no, I don't think anyone expects to see something that works and that is actually entertaining or funny in such a quick, short period.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say that's exactly it. I would say the reason why great 15s almost feel better to you than great 30s is, you know, something hilarious or amazing to look at, right? That happens. Usually you're building towards it for a whole 30 seconds. You know what I mean? And then you pay them off at the end with it. Just getting right to the point, you know, if that point is great enough, I think is like, it's just better. You don't waste anybody's time. And think about every great commercial is a simple idea. Like, you can explain what happens in 15 seconds easy, right? Like, Jason, you did one of my favorite Nike spots ever, where you have the offensive player and the defensive player running towards each other from each side, you know, throughout their lives until they finally are together on the same field and hit each other. Like, that, obviously, you want the time so you can build, you know what I mean? But I feel like, you know, if you're just going to show something amazing that doesn't take that long, or if you're going to make a joke that's hopefully pretty great, it doesn't take that long, you don't need that time. So if you can reward people faster, I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's more, maybe it's just more impressive too. It's like, what's more impressive? Somebody carving a swan out of an ice, out of a chunk of ice in 3 hours or in 10 minutes? Like, they're both a beautiful melting swan, but if you can do it, I don't know, there's something just like, you achieve the same thing in less time, which makes it even more impressive. So you want to talk about a spot? You want to play a spot and talk about it?
Yeah, let me see if I can share on your complicated recording interface. Yeah, watch the first two. Watch the Skittles one and then watch the iRobot one.
Okay.
300 dollars.
$300?
Or you can buy your Skittles at some other store around here.
Value the rainbow. Taste the rainbow.
Gym shorts ahead, sir.
Navigate around.
What?
Navigate around.
What? What?
Navigate around.
What? Go around.
No. Has recognized and avoided more objects than any other robot. iRobot OS.
That first one, that Skittles Cloud commercial, was the first 15 I ever did. I did with Craig. And back then, no one wrote original 15s. You know what I mean? It was just a cut down of a 30. And if it had to require an extra line captured to condense the story, you know what I mean? That would be the most people did. So we were very lucky to work for two CDs who were very big into a 15 can be as good as a 30. It should be its own thing. It's totally different own story, which was kind of a novel concept back in like the mid-2000s when we did that cloud spot. And I think it carries through to today like that iRobot 15. You know, that's the latest campaign we just did, or one of the latest ones at our agency. And, you know, it's just, I know now it's more of the, you know, the standard media buy involves 15s, but people still just cut down 30s too much. And so when we went and made whatever it was, three or four 30s for iRobot, we also made sure to make unique 15s with different stories, just because it's a chance to make something good, just as good as a 30. So I think maybe there's still a lot of people out there who don't see it that way and are kind of treated as a throwaway. But like we were talking about earlier, we know now 15s can be great, right? So it can be better than your 30, and oftentimes, sometimes is.
Yeah, and I like that point that it should, you really should strive to have it be its own thing and not a cut down, because they work differently. Like you have to, you got to tell that story differently. The iRobot one, it, for some reason, it doesn't even feel like a 15. It feels longer. And I think, yeah, it's because of the tension, because the way you build the tension in the control room somehow makes it, feel like that couldn't have happened in 15 seconds.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's another thing that's happened over time, is that like creatives and especially directors have gotten their heads around 15. You can still, I mean, you can't do it like a 30 or a 60, right? But you can still, there's, you know, there's still storytelling, you know, elements that can happen. Like you can build, right? You can build in a story, you can build tension, you can set things up. Like, I don't know. I think maybe over the last decade where everyone's dove in and been used to making 15s, you know, you get your head around it's maybe a little more time than you originally thought back in the day.
Ladies, does the fresh scent of Fiji make your man smell like a never-ending tropical sunset? Personalized love song melody? Romantic puppy surprise? Yes.
By the way, I remember all the drama around that spot with the puppies. But
puppy and a guitar, yeah, not good.
Yeah, that was a funny story where we had PETA on set. You guys had PETA on set.
Yeah.
Make sure that the puppies were totally fine. PETA signed off, said thumbs up. These puppies were not harmed in any way. And then after the fact, P&G was still concerned that they would be in trouble. And so the puppies were made to be CG puppies.
We shot real puppies, but those puppies are computer puppies. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just it's crazy.
That's commercials.
Yeah. But one of the things that I think is interesting about that one, and it's a technique that you can use in 15s, is kind of what's happening here. Like building curiosity at the front of, you know, where, okay, we're on a beach. Where's that voice coming from? Wait, what's coming out of the sand? Oh, wait, how is he coming out of the sand? Okay, that's Isaiah. He's coming out of the sand. And then the additional twist, you already had a twist of a guy coming out of a sand saying a funny line, but then when you think that's probably all enough, of course, you got to push it to the edge of madness and open up the guitar and have puppies inside.
Yeah, I actually think another thing these Old Spice 15s do well, like lesson they teach, now that I think about it, is that you know, it applies to any commercial you're making, but I think especially in 15s is that why would you ever do something that's just dialogue based? The whole thing can be dialogue and the dialogue should be interesting and cool and amazing and hilarious. But when you're making TV commercials, you're given a chance to show people something amazing or unexpected or wild or different or, you know, unimaginable, right? So that you know, these Old Spice ones do a great job of incorporating, you know, breakthrough visual gag with funny dialogue throughout, you know, which I think just makes it a lot stickier and a lot more effective.
I also think one of the things, this is not necessarily unique to a 15, but speaking of dialogue, one of the things that you and Craig did on occasion, you weren't overly literal about the dialogue. I think one of the things that I'm thinking of that spot. I'm also thinking of the Isaiah spot with the Komodo dragon.
Ladies, can I take you to the freshest of distant cultures? No, but Komodo can, and it will, and I will too. So will you? I hope so. I know so. Ice cream? Okay.
It's kind of gibberish dialogue. You let yourself be free of being so literal. It still makes sense and it's still accomplishing what it needs to in the end, but you go about it in a kind of fresher, more interesting way by having the dialogue be kind of weird and unexpected.
Totally. Yeah, the dialogue is crazy as the visuals, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of, let's watch that Terry Crews one. Actually, you watch it while I use the restroom really quick.
Okay.
Odor blocker body wash is so powerful it can block BO for 16 hours. It's so powerful it can turn off the sun. But then it gets too cold, so it makes another sun. Double sun power! Power!
You know, watching the Terry spot, it's again a reminder of what you said before. Like, any great commercial is a really simple idea. And sometimes when we struggle to write a 15, it's because we don't have a simple enough, strong enough idea. And that might, sometimes we have a good idea, but it literally requires a longer format to tell the story. But often it may be that you don't have that great of an idea. You don't have an interesting enough idea. I mean, the Terry spot, obviously we have a great character and it's just a stupid, simple idea that this product is so powerful, it turns off the sun, but then it gets cold. So then he makes a double sun and then that makes the world blow up.
Like, yeah, I think spokes people characters are fantastic for 15s. Simple messages are fantastic for 15s. Like the Little Caesar stuff I used to do with either about how it's hot and ready to go, no calling, no waiting. Or $5, right? One or the other. That is the one RTB we are going to sell you in this 15, right? Or also, if it's not a spokesperson, I mean, I think it needs to be just simple. Just a simple construct. You know what I mean? Just a setup, payoff, boom, done.
All right, I'm going to finish watching this cast, and then we're going to talk about why you think this works.
One hot and ready pizza, $5.
Get a hot and ready pepperoni pizza for $5 or a deep, deep dish for $8 only at Little Caesars.
Pizza.
Okay, so first of all, right off the bat, tell us about your approach to saying exactly what the client wants you to say.
Well, I would say that I thrive in environments where there is direct information to communicate. Whether that be a price point or, you know, being the fastest or being, you know, if it's a simple, clear thing to communicate, for me, you don't need more than 15 seconds, right? Because you're just going to make that point in the most memorable way possible. On Little Caesars, I think it is the best, if you go through the years of it, that, you know, I was lucky enough to get to work on it. It is the best collections of 15s, I think, ever, or at least up there, that I've ever been a part of. And the reason why was going into it, we found out we had 15 seconds, and we found out that the last we weren't going to sign it off in 3 seconds, that we had 6 seconds of pizza footage and voiceover and information that we had to communicate, and that was going to, it was already filmed by Little Caesars. It was going to play as the last 6 seconds of these. So we were writing nines. And that's why it's so good, because I think all the creatives got into the routine and the mindset of like, set it up, pay it off. You know what I mean? Like $5 pizza, this happens. It's hot and ready, so this happens, you know? And then it just turns into a writing exercise where obviously it would take 150 written to get to one as good as cast. But people, you know, everyone happily did, because, you know, it was such a great reward to be a part of any of these 15. So
yeah, I mean, it's a great point. This is beyond a 15. This is a nine. Like,
they're nines. All the Little Caesars 15s are nines. And I'm telling you, that's why it's good, because it forced all of the creatives who are concepting to write the most condensed stories ever. So it was similar to writing like a Mitch Hedberg or Rodney Dangerfield setup payoff joke. You know what I mean? There is zero time wasted.
It's like it's like joke from concentrate.
Yes.
And you start off by literally saying the product benefit is the first. It's the first thing in this spot. It's the first thing out of the mouth.
Well, never shy away from that in any advertising. I think any good ad, you know, is all about the story, the entertainment, the laughs, the emotion, whatever it is, should be all about that brand and all about that product or service. I never tack stuff onto the end. You're just making a less effective ad and a less ownable ad, right? You want to make it all about this brand and this brand's DNA, whatever that tone is. You know, for Little Caesars, it's wacky. And then you want to go right at it. And you want to tell them that a pizza's only $5 or pizza's hot and ready in as entertaining a fashion as you can.
And in this case, what the formula, and we'll break down some other ones that use different formulas, but the formula of this is right off the bat, you're setting up the problem and the tension, which is it's $5. He reaches into his pocket on the left side and there's no money. So right then you're like, your brain just goes, oh, what's he going to do? He's got, first of all, you've grabbed people's attention with a ridiculous cast that points upward. That's already a very awkward looking cast. So right off the bat, you've communicated to me something's weird here. Something is odd. I want to watch and see what's going to happen. Then he pulls the pocket out and now you're like, oh, tension, problem. What's going to happen? And then that sets up the joke.
And oh, yeah. I mean, quick setup, quick payoff. Strong idea. You know, healthy arm, no money, unhealthy arms, got to get into the pocket. Whoosh.
Here's your hot and ready pizza.
No calling? No waiting?
There's no rules!
Let's just start back on.
There's one rule!
Pick up a large hot and ready pepperoni pizza for $5. Only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
It's good. It's good. The, you know, it's, by the way, shout out to fantastic creatives and now fantastic creative directors, Danny Gonzalez and David Suarez, who are the creative team on, I would say, the majority of all these Little Caesars spots we're watching.
All right, let's watch Woods.
Oh, Woods is great.
I heard a deranged clown lurks in these woods. I heard Little Caesars has pizza for $5.
You heard right!
Get a hot and ready pepperoni pizza for $5 or a 3-meat treat for $8 at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
Just so stupid.
This next one, mime, is hilarious. This is just a tip that, you know, you give, I'm sure, all the time, is show everything you think of, because I remember when this creative team showed me a stack of scripts, 30 scripts, the last one was this mime script, and they had highlighted it in Microsoft Word and put a cross through. So they printed out the script, but they had crossed it out and left it on the bottom because they thought it might be too silly or too dumb. And
They didn't understand.
Guess which of the 30 scripts was the one that got made?
There's no such thing. They didn't understand the CD they were working with. They thought anything was too dumb. All right, here we go.
Nothing gets too dumb.
Honey, how did you order a... Oh, right, with Little Caesars, you don't have to call.
Dad got pizza? That's crazy.
Pick up Little Caesars Hot and Ready Caesar Wings with your large $5 Hot and Ready pizza tonight.
Pizza, pizza.
He's a half mime.
He's
a half mime kid.
Inter mime marriage.
That's right. Oh, and if you want to, I would say my favorite, personal favorite, 15 I ever got to be a part of, I think proved out how hard and long everyone worked and thought on these Little Caesar 15s. It's the one called One More Time. And literally, think about how mathematical we got about it. We have 9 seconds and we had a 6 seconds end card. So one time we were saying, what if we just started with the 6 second end card with the pizza? We're like, what could we do then? And then we're like, oh, we could do this. So watch One More Time.
Get our hot and ready deep, deep dish pizza for $8 or a large pepperoni for $5 only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
Get our hot and ready deep, deep dish pizza for $8 or a large pepperoni for $5 only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah.
Stupid.
We hit you up twice with it. So, yeah, that's Little Caesars. The next three are the Jolly Rancher campaign. I don't know if you saw we did a couple years ago. It's character-based. It's got a Jolly Rancher. Why don't you watch him, Jason?
Howdy, honcho! Tell your palate to pony up for the perfect punch of juicy flavor. It'll douse your mouth in downright deliciousness. Woo! Jolly Rancher, it's time for a flavor ride! Hola, amigos! Saddle up on the fruitiest flavor your tongue has ever touched! A luscious line dance that'll linger on your lips all day long. Woo! Jolly Rancher, it's time for a flavor ride!
I never thought of that's the first time you ever made me think of the name as actually being a rancher.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm telling you, keep it simple, right? Good ideas, you know, good like constructs for campaigns aren't that complex, right? So it's called Jolly Rancher. What if we put a happy cowboy, a Jolly Rancher, on one and he rode it around like a bull? That's already a lovable deal. Now you can do anything you want with it.
How did you shoot that? Was he?
He was. We had a big thing, the same shape as the Jolly Rancher, that was like a green screen, and then we shot it on a huge soundstage where the camera would literally like 50 yards away from him. Because it turns out when you shrink something down in frame for it to look real and viable, you have to be as far away from him as it would be. So like, for example, we shot, let's say, someone holding a Jolly Rancher, right? And in frame, that person's that big. So when we shot the little guy on it, we had to put the camera 50 yards back so that that ratio still worked out. Do you know what I mean? Because if we were super close to the guy, then when we cut him out and put him on there, he would feel a different quality. And that's apparently how the magic is made.
Huh.
I didn't do a very good technical explanation of that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Let's watch Big Brother.
What would you do wrong if you were maxing out on a bench press and got stuck? It can unroll itself and spot you like a friend with it lifting so much weight. It gets you so excited, you go, I love my Big Brother foot.
It's a good one. Watch the next one. Yeah, those are good. Those are a good lesson in, well, first of all, keep the idea simple, right? Fruit by the Foot wanted to talk about their, the unique attributes, the shape, right? So the length of it. So they just wanted people to be excited about the length. The creative on that campaign thought of these awesome, interesting visual scenarios. But then when it was time to go make them, we realized, you know, man, this will be interesting to look at, even if you don't have your volume on, right? It'll be great. But how else can we punch it up? How else can we, what can we add to it to just up it even more? So that's when we decide, why don't we just write an upbeat song to go with it? And then what did that song say? I don't know exactly what you're seeing. So just, you know, another layer of humor over it kind of helped elevate it for sure.
Yeah. I got one more I got to watch here. These are
oh,
great.
Don't watch Fruit Snail yet. Fruit Snail is my magnum opus, greatest 15 I've ever written.
Okay, do you want me to wait on that one?
Yeah, let me tell you about Fruit Snail, Jason.
This tell me my about favorite.
Fruit Snail, I think the lesson here is a little trick I use sometime called sing the brief. They just wanted to talk, Fruit by the Foot just wanted to talk about their attributes, which is their length and their shape, their unique shape that you can kind of play with when you eat. So we got a box of them. I unwrapped one and put it down in front of me. It looked like a snail. And so then I wrote a song about that snail. Something fun had to happen. So I said, well, this is the like teenager. So why don't we have, you know, a preteen or a teenager who's friends with the snail, and then it needs an ending. So, you know, at the end they eat it and the poor snail dies. So we made a few of these, but it's just so simple. I don't know for what reason, but it's, I wrote these ones. So this is my personal favorite 15 I ever wrote.
All right. I'm going to watch this.
All right.
We're going to watch this.
My fruit snail is adorable. My fruit snail is red. My fruit snail's really growing up someday and might be wed. My fruit snail is dying. My fruit snail is dead. Food.
I love the little sting on the end of all of these.
Yeah, you got to get to that guy who's singing it, the guy who's recording the song.
Those actually add a lot to the spots, just that unexpected, like, rest of the story.
Well, that's also probably another good lesson is, like, even when you got the core of the idea, how else can you add to it? How else can you add humor? How else can you add energy? How else can you add breakthrough to it, right? So it's, you know, once you have your idea, you know, if your CD likes it or whatever, maybe just think about it for a little bit. How can you one-up it? How can you plus it? There's always a way, whether it's a little detail in something visual, whether it's audio, whether it's adding a song, your own song, whether it's a crazy, fun, interesting opening or closing. Just, you know, you have 15 seconds, might as well try to max it out.
Yeah, that's what I call pushing it to the edge of madness.
To the edge of madness.
You gotta always see how far you can push it before it goes over the cliff. When you do this, sing the brief. Are you sitting in your office literally singing, or are you singing in your head and writing? How does that work?
I literally kind of sing usually when I'm driving or in my office alone. I play the piano my whole life, so I happen to be musical. So I like to think I'm good at it. But I think the worst thing you can do is be like, oh, let's do a cool song. And then literally most creatives present it where it's like an ad for, I don't care, I don't know what, beef jerky. And then what do you hear? An awesome song about beef jerky. It's like, what is that song? What are the words? What does it sound like? So I always get every song I present to a client made. Actually, the song is written and recorded by a music house before I even share it with client. It's actually led to, I don't know how I can find them, Jason, but like a treasure trove of songs I presented for all kinds of brands that campaigns that never sold. But but yeah, I think, I mean, it says a good song's as specific as like a good joke, right? So you can't just present a script and be like, and then there'll be a funny joke. You say that you read the joke. Same thing with a song. You need to flesh out the song and the lyrics and kind of the style and the tone. So I always just go ahead and make a song, before I've even presented it to the clients, just because it gets to your head. It'll the only way to get their head around it.
So how do you do that? Like I've done the same thing, but I'm curious when you do it, are you reaching out to music houses and Are you paying them? Are they doing like a demo, or are they?
In my case, I work with the same creative partners often. So in my specific case, I've been, I've worked with one specific music house and one composer for my entire career, and we, get along great, and we've made a lot of great work together, and so he's always enthusiastic to help. Like, remember the Ragu campaign?
Yeah.
I think that's probably when the creative, we're kicking around the idea of, the whole idea there was, let's treat Ragu for kids like beer for adults, like after a hard day of work, after a long day out on the ranch. So we have kids going through their hard days, and after a hard day being a kid, pop open a can of Ragu, right? And so, which is fantastic. Definitely.
Maybe, probably top five campaigns, my favorite campaigns ever.
Well, thank you. The creative team on that one, fantastic creative team. We knew we were going to do a Western-ish, kind of like Bush Beer type of song. And they were writing lyrics to it. And they would sing it kind of different every time. And once one of them sang it, and I'm like, that's it. Like, it just sounded perfect. You know what I mean? I'm like, that sounds just like one of those songs would sound. That's a perfect little melody. Get out your phone now. Get out your phone. Get out your phone. And I made him get out his phone and record it right then. And that's what we sent to the music house. Just because, just like when you hear it, you hear a great campaign construct, or you hear a great joke, you're like, oh, that's it. That's the joke. Kind of the same thing happens, at least with me, with the songs. So, yeah, the copywriter actually wrote the actual melody on that one.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Ragu campaign, one of my favorites is actually one of the radio spots.
Yes.
Who knew your mom was a socialist commie?
Yeah. That was amazing.
This is incredible. I'm going to try to put it in right here so you can enjoy it, even though it has nothing to do with 15s.
Mom, Lisa's playing with my toys.
You know we share in this house.
Ugh.
You got to share all your stuff, according to mommy, who knew you were being raised by a socialist commie. She needs Ragu, cause growing up's tough. Give her Ragu, she's been through enough.
A long day of childhood calls for America's favorite pasta sauce.
That one, I would say that campaign is just like Little Caesar's 15s. That campaign is a testament to just writing and writing and writing. The creative team, just on radio alone, probably wrote 50 scripts to get to the three or four we made, And that's for radio, which is often an afterthought to TV.
Yeah.
But it's just, I know that's something everybody probably talks about a lot. But I feel like you need to say it now more than ever, though, because when we came up, Jason, the nicest boss was one that was kind of a jerk. And we all stayed till late at night every night, right? And now, luckily, young creatives coming in are in a healthier spot. They get paid a lot more fairly. They get treated a lot more humanely, which is wonderful. But it does put the onus now on the creatives to push themselves, as hard as they want. And to also realize, I don't have to stay late, maybe ever. I barely have to work any weekends. If you utilize that time, you'll think of more executions, you'll get better, and you'll have more to share with your CD, so you'll sell more work. So I think that's the one theme whenever I'm talking to, advertising students or young people in advertising. I think it's an important point to make more than once.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a broken record on that point, but I'd say like the top three most important attributes of a great creative is be prolific. And yeah. there's just no, I've never ever met, including you, including Craig, every great creative that I have ever worked with has been incredibly prolific. And there's no reason you can't be prolific working regular hours. You don't have to work late and most of us waste a ton of time.
Yeah.
And if we just use our days efficiently and especially prioritize our creative time, our creative concepting time, and don't put ourselves in meetings when we are at our most, if your most prolific time is from like 8 a.m. to noon, don't take a bunch of meetings from 8 a.m. to noon every day.
Yeah. Like,
try to block that time and be prolific. And you, if you do that, you don't have to work the crazy hours that we worked.
No, but, not at all. And I think it's just, you know, just be honest with yourself, like stay off social media at work, stay off video games or whatever, you know, your time wasters at work, and just make yourself do the work. That's why it's kind of the perfect situation, right? Like you can leave at a normal hour now as a creative. It used to not be true. So exactly. Say, hey, you know, and there were days, Jason, when you and I were coming up where we would waste some hours because we were sick of concepting and we knew we had to stay late anyways because everyone had to stay late. But now creatives are in the perfect position where just, you know, if it's an important project, I would put it this way. You could leave at 4 because you've had a week to work on this and you already have a lot of good ideas. But is it going to ruin your personal life? And is it going to ruin everything else if you just cranktail 6? You know what I mean? Just put that little bit of extra concentration and time and work on it. You'll come up with 15% more ideas and, you know, do that a handful of times and you'll have sold more campaigns.
Yeah, you're going to have a much higher rate of being the team that sells the idea if you're the most.
Yeah.
And then you're going to make more work and then you're going to make more money and then everything is just going to avalanche, a glorious positive avalanche from there. If you just,
yeah, it'll pay off. It'll, the hard work always pays off. And there's times when, and I've seen it now being a boss of young creatives for a while. I've seen, you know, it takes a while to get your head around it too. Right. And like to get it. So I've seen creative teams push themselves hard for a couple years and still not have success. And I encourage them to keep going. And then all of a sudden, boom, avalanche, you know, they sell 3 campaigns in a row in a couple months. You know what I mean? And then they get to do all that fun stuff, flying all over the place, filming stuff, making great work, filling up their reels. So it's just, it'll all pay off. Just keep, you know, bugging, ask your creative director why something was good or not all the time. And just keep cranking and you'll get yourself there.
It's kind of the, what, you know, Malcolm Gladwell talks about, that I don't think he was the one to invent this, but the
10,000 hours. I talked about that exact thing in an ad speech thing I gave. Jason, this is funny you brought that up. So this is something that Craig and I actually did, because that book came out when we left Shiat and went to Wyden. And basically our time at Shiat New York, we were able to get fantastic, you know, that Skittles work and some other stuff out of there, but it was the definition of a grind, you know. And it was like we worked from like 9 in the morning till 9 at night, 5 days a week, and then Saturday and Sunday we had folding chairs we took to Central Park and we sat them where our cubicle chairs would be facing each other and wrote all day outside to get some vitamin D or whatever. I mean, we worked 24/7. Like, and when we left to go to Wyden, we wrote so many scripts, you know, full ideas, fully fleshed out scripts that we presented to our creative directors, not half-baked things or little things we threw out there. We decided to count how many scripts we presented to make one Skittles ad. And for the last one we did, Pinata, you know, the Pinata Man, it was some, I forget the exact number now, but it was like 260-something, 270-something scripts. Oh, you know, over a course. So that's how we, and then when we were leaving Wyden, I was reading that Malcolm Gladwell book and I was like, oh my God, how many hours did I just work with Craig in these 3 years? I'm going to try to handicap it. So I was like, this many days on the average weekday, let's be honest about it. This many weekends, let's be honest about it. And I did the math. It was totally rudimentary, but it came out to like 10,012 hours. And I was like, oh my God. I think I did it on a plane after reading that chapter of that book. But it's like you have to put in some years and grind, because, you know, being a creative and thinking of concepts and writing ad campaigns is something you only learn by doing. It's like throwing darts at a dartboard, right? The first time you do it, you don't even hit the dartboard once. But then over time and practice, you get, you know, you get closer and closer and closer. until you've been doing this for 500 years like you and me, and we finally have our heads around it. But it's just, that's the only way to learn. There's not like, there's not a cheat code. So it's just important stuff.
And the sooner, that's where the being prolific comes in, because you're going to get to that 10,000 hours quicker. It's not about how much time you clock at the office. It's how much time do you spend actually mastering your craft and practicing it?
Yes.
And the sooner you get to it, you know, people are very almost allergic to talking about like hard work and putting in the time. And we're not sitting here saying like, oh, it was unhealthy, the amount of hours that you and I worked in our
early. Yeah, it was bad. It
wasn't okay. We're not recommending that. But the reality is we did get to that 10,000 hours quickly. And you can do that not working till 9 p.m. every night. But you gotta hit it. You got to like make sure that you're cranking and being prolific when you're at work. And it's going to pay off so massively, and the quicker you can do it, the better, the more benefits your career is going to have. And like you said, don't get down if in the early part you feel like you're really grinding and you're not having all the success, because it will come. It'll come soon enough.
And some people, and this is just for everybody listening, some people it doesn't come till their second or third jobs. A lot of times I know creatives who, you know, everybody has their voice, their style, or whatever, you know, and creative directors, you know, react maybe to the tone and style of some creatives more than others. So I've seen people work hard in their first job for 2 years, not have much of any luck, go to second job for a year, year and a half, same thing. They're getting really frustrated. Then they go to their third job, they're working for that right CD, and then boom, it's explosion. You know, world opens up, they're doing amazing work, tons of it. And then I've seen people struggle for a couple jobs like that and then go from creative to ACD to CD to even higher than that in a matter of just a few years. That just like, you know, it took a few years to get here and find that right fit, and then boom, shoot up. So it's funky.
Should we watch take five?
And sure, take five, last ones I threw on there.
At take five, you stay in your car because we're faster than you think.
Oil change is done.
I didn't even finish my coffee yet.
Take five, the stay in your car 10-minute oil change.
At take five, you stay in your car because we're faster than you think.
Oil change is done.
That was so fast I didn't even have time to finish knitting these sweaters. Oh well.
Cheese!
Take five, the stay in your car 10-minute oil change.
At take five, you stay in your car because we're faster than you think.
Oil change is done.
Gosh, I don't even have time to stretch my legs.
Guess you have to do it at home.
Guess I'll have to do it at home.
Take five, the stay in your car 10-minute oil change.
So the take five spots are wonderful. And they kind of, I didn't go to portfolio school. So my schooling was just reverse engineering everything I like. And I still do it. And so when I look at the take fives, the formula for that is state the product benefit right up front, which is the same thing you do on Little Caesars. Product benefit, there's this benefit, therefore there's this negative outcome.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, you know, they're the fastest oil change. And so once we came up with the faster than you think construct, then, I mean, now you can have a field day, and any creative can write hundreds of these, you know? So it's just a matter of cracking that campaign construct that lets you repeat and repeat and repeat in memorable ways forever. And you know, all the jokes just drive home the RTB.
I love how you found a way to use RTB in this conversation.
It
elevated everything. I love it. But do you, in the three that we just watched, the product benefit results in a harmless but negative outcome.
Yes.
So the guy has to pour coffee all over himself. The woman knits sweaters that are only cover half the body. The guy has to do his stretches at home. And why is it necessarily that the negative outcome is just funnier and more surprising than because it could be a positive out, it could be a ridiculous positive outcome.
Yeah, I think it's partly that. It's that the, I mean, you know, faster than you think, when you start writing the jokes, it all comes down to thinking of, you know, examples of things done in way less time. So how could that be funny? You know, knitting a sweater, you only go halfway down. Sipping your coffee, now you have to chug it. So I think it naturally lends itself to that negative outcome. But I would also say that, you know, it's negative for that character in the commercial, but it really does drive home the point, right? We're demonstrating how fast it is.
The message is positive. It's just,
exactly.
Funny. I would think that it just happened. It just the way that works, it's probably usually going to be funnier to show a kind of negative outcome for the character in the spot in that case.
Yes. It is. I think we've had a few that try to turn into positive, but it's funny because then it usually gets too long because you set up it's the same thing. It's like Little Caesars. You set it up faster than you think. You have like 8 seconds and then end card, right? So again, we're writing like eights after you set up the construct. So you show someone, you know, doing something in a condensed time than what it usually takes. Therefore, they fail or something is different or wrong. Then they have to flip. That has to be flipped into a positive, which you can do, but it just is almost like an extra step that eats up your time. So I believe, that's why, if I'm remembering, that's why most of them end up in a, you know, an over the top, you know, bad thing, even though it's great for the brand and for our purposes.
Do you have any thoughts or advice or techniques on how to do sixes?
Like sixes, brands let you have fun with sixes. It's the best because it's, you don't even have to set something up and pay it off. You just have to do the most memorable thing that you can think of to do, whether that be a noise or a fragment of a sentence. With these starfish ones for fruit gushers, we had, that was the end card of the spots. And we had the little starfish saying something. So we had the footage so we could put whatever we wanted in its mouth and then just manipulate, you know, animate the mouth opening and closing that I think are some of the funnest stuff I've ever been a part of. I think you especially would appreciate them because of how next level silly they are. But I don't know. You just kind of let go.
I think tonight I'm going to want a salad. Psych! I want those gushers, gush! I talk and fart out of the same hole. Gush. Gushers in my mouth hole. I love you, Gush.
It's less about telling a story and it's more about just like, how do you say something or give the brand some personality in the most ridiculous, memorable way, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly. I mean, It's how can you break through the most in 6 seconds? You have to be obnoxiously over the top, memorable, silly, fun. Yeah.
Last question, Eric. Mm-hmm. Where did you? I think you have made a name for yourself with a huge body of work that is very over the top. And I think very smart too, but over the top. And you're a great example of the principle of pushing it to the edge of madness. And I think it's what sets it, what it's what makes your work great, and it's what makes it stand out. Where did that come from? Like, how did you? Because not everybody does that naturally. Not everybody.
Thank you. First of all, thank you. Second of all, it's just stupid luck, Jason. Like my voice or tone as a copywriter, my student book, I think I'd probably unhirable except for the CDs on Skittles. Cause it was like, it was for 10 different brands if you flip through all the ads, but they were all over the top and wild and maybe didn't make sense. but were right for that brand, right? So it was just, I mean, I tried really hard to get that interview and get that meeting and get in there. But like, I think it's wild luck that, you know, that, I don't know, my natural tone or voice or sensibilities lean towards your description there, I guess, edge of madness, pushing it, you know, turn it up to 11 or whatever it may be. Because, and I'm just lucky that that's proved out in real life to be what really, you know, it leads to luckily effective advertising, stuff that actually breaks through and gets remembered. So I would say it's just dumb luck with.
How did you have the confidence? How did you have the confidence as a coming out of portfolio school to have such a polarizing portfolio as opposed to trying to like, it sounds like you did what I did, but 3 years into my career.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I'm just going to make what I love and I know it's going to turn people off, but I'm going to have faith that it's going to attract the type of work I want to do. So I'm just going to do it. But you did that, you know, as a student, basically. Yeah. Was that conscious?
Yes, it was, in the fact that like there were the people who were like writing ads, maybe like, don't want to say imitating other ads, but they made sure I had my thoughtful long copy. Now I had my smart headline campaign. Now I had my funny headline campaign, which makes a lot more sense, really, and probably opened you up to a lot more career opportunities. So it's definitely might not be the wrong thing to do. I guess I was just overly excited when I got the stuff that I thought was, you know, like what we're talking about, maybe louder, bombastic, over the top, whatever it is, right? Crazier. And I just loved it. And I just wanted to do stuff like that at the beginning. I mean, if I went to ad school now, I probably would be like, that's a terrible idea.
No, I think it's a great idea. And it's like, that was the best testimonial that I've had of what a principle that I just totally believe in, which is, first of all, figure out what you love, like what gets you excited, and that's your best indication of what your voice is.
Yeah.
And then lean 100% into that. And I actually give people that advice. I give anybody, I don't care if you're young or not, I think your book should be a little bit polarizing.
It should definitely should be.
It should
definitely
not appeal. And when that does, whether it's comedy or whether it's maybe you have
100%.
Whatever you have, like, you should lean so far into it that not everyone's going to like it. And some people are going to love it.
But it'll get you hired by the right person. Someone who likes what you're doing will say, I want that. And so as a creative director, I always complain about going through too many books look the same, right? Like, one thing is there's only a few big ad schools, so everyone has the same teachers or CDs. But then also, you know, like I was saying, they all have their long copy. They all have their smart visual campaign. They all have their snarky headline campaign, whatever it is. And then you can't tell what they're really like until they've been working for you for, you know, I don't know, 6 months, right? Then you've got your head around what this creative is and what they do and how they think and all that. And man, would it be helpful if people just unabashedly went for putting together the portfolio that they personally love, whether that be, you know, every ad is 1,000 words of the most beautifully written romantic copy you've ever read, or the craziest, wackiest visuals you've ever seen. Just, you know, if everyone said, screw it, I'm just going to do what I'm going to share the ads I love, then I think it would, I think it'd definitely be positive.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I know you got to go. Thank you for sharing your insight. I know people are going to appreciate it.
Are you an advertising creative or creative director, and despite all your hard work, you're still not making the kind of creative you want? Well, I know what it's like to be frustrated that you aren't getting better creative opportunities, feeling like you're falling behind your peers and not getting the support you need. Using a specific 7-step process, my teams and I have been able to win major advertising awards every year for 20 consecutive years. If you would like to learn the exact same 7-step process my teams and I use to create iconic campaigns for Old Spice, Nike, KFC, and others, and how you can start doing the best work of your life in less than 60 days, click the link somewhere on or around this video, and it'll take you to a page where you can register for a completely free online training I put together for any creatives wanting to do the best work of their life. So go ahead, click the link on or around this video, and register for the free training, and I'll see you there.